The scripture reading is Mark 11:29. But Jesus answered and said to them, "Will also ask you one question, then answer me. I will tell you by what authority I do these things."
Good evening. It is good to be with you tonight. And by asking questions, we can learn a lot of things. Young children ask the question, especially 2, 3, 4 years old, they ask the question, why? And quite honestly, they ask it over and over and over again. And we're probably familiar with that. And they're asking the question, why? Because they want an understanding, hopefully. And even when the children get older, they ask the question, why? Especially when you ask them to do chores or do something like that. You ask them to do something specific and they say, why? You see, they're getting that. They want to get that answer to see if you're really serious about what you're asking them to do. We see Jesus in talking to the religious leaders here in this Mark chapter 11, verse 29. He says, "I will ask you one question, then answer me, and I'll tell you by what authority I do these things." See, Jesus was going to ask a question with them because they were asking him a question. They wanted to learn. Jesus wanted to learn how they were going to ask or answer the question. And Jesus asked this question, "The baptism of John, was it from heaven or was it from men?" And then we see their response. They reason among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he'll say, why then do you not believe him? But if we say from men," they feared the people, for all counted John to have been a prophet indeed. So they answered and said to Jesus, "We don't know." You see, they were asked a question, and they thought about it. They reasoned with that question and said, you know, if I answer it this way, then I have to do something with that answer and live my life that way. If I answer it this way, well, guess what? People might come after me for what I'm saying. You see, there is the answer to certain questions mean everything. It impacts how we move forward. And they reasoned and they thought about this, so they just simply said, "We don't know." Therefore, while answering questions, they didn't respond. They didn't answer the way Jesus wanted them to, or in likewise, Jesus didn't answer their question either. While answering questions, we must reason the answer. We must come with the proper conclusions, and then how we answer the question is how we move forward. You see, Jesus asked many questions in his life, and especially to get people to respond the right way. None more important than Luke chapter 9. If you would turn your Bibles there, we'll probably spend the remaining time there. Luke chapter 9 and verse 18. It said, "And it happened as he was alone praying that his disciples joined him, and he asked them, saying, who do the crowds say that I am?" You see, he asked this question in two different forms. But really what he is asking is, who is Jesus? And we know that he's asking, what do people ask? Who are asking about, what do the people say? And then, what do you say? He's asking it in two different ways. And when we think of this, we need to answer. He's asking the question, who is Jesus? How this question is answered determines my direction. Whoever answers this question, it determines the direction of my life. If I rely on what others say about Jesus, it could be either the right answer, it could be the wrong answer, or it could be something in the middle. If we examine the evidence, if I examine and we examine the evidence for ourselves, then we have no need to rely on someone else to give me the potential wrong answer. Let's go to verse 19 in Luke chapter 9. It says, "So they answered, the disciples answered, John the Baptist. Some say Elijah, and others say that one of the old prophets had risen." We see, when Jesus asks, what do the people say? It's either they say, well, you're John the Baptist or Elijah or a prophet from old who has risen again. And is this who Jesus was? Well, no, it wasn't. But Jesus was not John the Baptist. Jesus was not Elijah. He was not a prophet of the risen again. But they did, each of these ones that they answered was someone from God. Elijah was from God. John the Baptist was a prophet of God. And these old prophets, that they were all from God. So they got part of the question, right? They just didn't, they understood that this was a man of God. But this really wasn't who Jesus was. Then Jesus asked the question, who do you say that I am? You know, we could rephrase that question and not do it any harm, because we could say, well, Jesus' question to the disciples, he could say, with all the evidence you have seen and all the evidence that you have heard, who do you say that I am? The disciples seen miracles over and over again. They've seen evidence, and this confirms their understanding and belief of who Jesus is. We understand that Peter answered here in verse 20. He said that you are the Christ of God. We see over and over in Scripture of how people responded to Jesus. And it's interesting, Nathanael answered in John chapter 1 and verse 49. Nathanael said, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And you know, Jesus kind of, you know, he said, just because I said that I knew you over by the fig tree, that you believe this, that you are saying this. He said, many more signs you'll see, many more evidence you'll have. But you believed by this simple thing. We know that in John chapter 2 and verse 11, after the first miracles of Jesus, turning the water to wine, he was in Canaan in Galilee, and we see in verse 11 that the disciples believed in him. They believed because they saw the evidence that was in front of them. Then in John chapter 6 and verse 68 through 69, Jesus was teaching to the multitudes, and he was teaching some tough teaching. In fact, he said, if you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood if you want any part of eternal life. You see, that was a tough teaching. They didn't understand. They were thinking the physical when it was the spiritual. They didn't understand what he was talking about. And they left. They said, we're not going to be part of this. And we see Jesus then turn to Peter and the disciples. And Jesus asked him the question, are you going to leave too? But Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of life. And also we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You see, they looked at the evidence and they examined that and they said, we can't go anywhere else because we know who you are. In John chapter 17, Jesus is praying to God. And he says this in verse 8, for I've given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them and have known surely that I have come forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me." You see, the apostles, the disciples of Jesus Christ, they understood who Jesus was. And they knew that for sure. He is the Christ. And to call Jesus the Christ, like Peter did, it's equivalent to calling him the Messiah, the Anointed One, the one who fulfills all prophecy regarding God's great plan for human redemption. It connects him to the promises of the promises that God gave to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and to David. And if he is the Messiah, he is the one that it connects all that. And he is the king of prophecy. To say that Jesus was the Christ of God meant he was sent by God and he bore the qualities of a person. He is God the Son. When we ask the question, who is Jesus? We must see how we answer that question. And if we believe that Jesus is the Christ of God, then that determines how we are going to live our life. Are we going to live our life in sin? And are we going to live our life away from God? Or are we going to live it for Christ? See, if we're going to live it for Christ, then we must understand, just like the disciples saw this, as after Jesus asked him, and he answered, the Christ of God. In verse 21, he strictly warned them and commanded them to tell this to no one, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised on the third day." You see, his hour has not yet come. So Jesus warned them and commanded them to tell this to no one, knowing that they understood who he was. Jesus reveals the plan of God to them, and he reveals what is going to happen here very shortly. That Jesus must suffer, that Jesus must be rejected, that he must be killed, and he must be raised on the third day. If Jesus is the Christ of God, then the question I must ask myself is, who am I? Who am I? You see, either I'm a follower of Jesus Christ or I'm ashamed of Jesus and his teachings. We either are a follower or we're denying him. If I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, then I must look at Jesus' instructions and be obedient to him. Jesus said, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Let's dig deeper into this. Let him deny himself. A follower of Christ must take on a new identity. He must put himself totally at the disposal of Jesus. He abandons his self as an object of life and action. He discontinues ways of thinking, which elevates patterns of selfishness in our life. When we look at this, Paul wrote it in this way. He says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt each one a measure of faith," in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. You see, if Jesus is the Christ, and if we answer, yes, he is, then we must look and examine ourselves. And how we ought to think about ourselves. So we cannot say that if Jesus is the Son of God, I'm going to just live, boy, any way I want. You see, that doesn't make sense. That's just an improper reasoning. If Jesus is the Son of God, he tells us that he wants us to deny ourselves, That means we need to let our own selfish ambitions and follow him. In fact, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 through 5 says just that. It says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also the interest of others. Let this mind be in you as it is also in Christ Jesus. You see, we must deny ourselves. If our answer is yes, Jesus is the Son of God, then we must deny ourselves. And then we also see what we need to take up our cross. Jesus bore the cross for our sins. Jesus literally took up his cross and carried it to Golgotha. This was the purpose he came to this world. John 12 and verse 27. The purpose that he came to this world was to go to the cross. Then we must ask questions of ourselves. What will we do for him? Look at verse 24. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. You see, will our purpose for living be concentrated on Jesus? Or are we going to just say, I'm going to live however I want, and I'm going to live it to the fullest, and I'm going to live it for myself? And when I do that, what ultimately happens? I'm going to lose my life. I will not have eternal life. He said, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. You see, are we willing to sacrifice for him? Are we willing to accept a cross-filled, a Christ-centered life being crucified with him? Will we accept hardship for him? Are we willing to give up anything for him? Look at verse 25. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and himself is destroyed or lost? Think about that for a second. What is worth my soul? What is worth it? Is there anything material or in this life that is worth my soul? You see, if we answer that Jesus is the Christ of God, then there is nothing in this world that's more important than us following him. Paul, in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7, said, but what things were gained to me, these things I have counted for loss for Christ. Yet, indeed, I count all things for the loss, for the excellence of his knowledge of Christ my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him. You see, the most important thing in Paul's life, he said, he was the Hebrew of Hebrews. He was from the tribe of Benjamin. And he had all this knowledge. He was well known. And he said, I count everything. All that worldly stuff, I count it for loss. Counts it as rubbish so that he may gain Christ and be found in him. Jesus requires us to follow him. Are we going to follow his teachings? Matthew 28 and verse 20, when Jesus is departing from his disciples, and he said, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. He then tells them to teach them to observe all that I have commanded. Are we going to follow all the things that Jesus commanded? You see, when we follow Jesus, we understand that he has authority in heaven and in earth. 1 Peter 2, verse 21 and 22 says this, for to you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you shall follow in his footsteps. And look what Peter then quotes. He quotes from the Old Testament. He says, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. You see, he said we should follow in his footsteps. Jesus Christ, Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus committed no sin. So what should we strive to do? Not to commit sin. Jesus had no deceit in his mouth. We, as followers of Jesus, need to not have deceit and hardness of heart and not let that proceed from our mouth. A Christian must not only believe, but he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Jesus. All of these things implies complete allegiance and faithfulness to him. You see, when we answer the question, who is Jesus? And we answer it for ourselves. Am I going to answer it that I believe that? Am I going to answer that he is the Christ? Or am I going to be ashamed of him and his words? Look at verse 26. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. You see, in other words, we're denying Jesus. You see, if we either are accepting him that he is the Christ of God, or we're rejecting him. There is no middle ground. We just can't say, I don't know. And if you don't know, look at the evidence. We can't just say, well, I reasoned this way. Well, if I'm following Jesus, then I better live like that. If I'm not following Jesus, it doesn't really matter. Or somewhere in between, yeah, I believe in Jesus, but I'm not living a life for that. We can't just answer the question, I don't know. It's either one or the other. It's either, yes, I follow Jesus, then we need to live like it. Or, yes, I'm rejecting Jesus. Then what we're ultimately doing is rejecting God. And Jesus says, whoever is not for me is against me. If you are ashamed of Jesus and his teachings, the same judgment will be granted in return from Jesus to the Father. If you deny me, I'll deny you before my Father. Jesus will not receive you when he comes again. So when we ask the question, who is Jesus? What will our response be? Will our response be that he is the Christ of God? You see, my answer determines my direction of life. If I am going to believe that, that's going to change my life and I'm going to live for him. Will we reason like the Pharisees and ultimately never answer the question or say, I don't know? Will we reason like the apostles and examine the evidence and say, Jesus is the Christ of God? How you answer these questions determines how you proceed in life. You see, if you believe, if you understand and say that Jesus is the Christ, then you're going to believe in him. If you say that Jesus is the Christ, you're going to repent of your sins. If you say that Jesus is the Christ, you're confessing him. If you say that Jesus is the Christ, you'll be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins. And if you say that Jesus is the Christ, you'll live faithful until you die. We need to ask the question. We need to answer the question that Jesus asked those apostles. As we offer the invitation tonight, what will your answer be? What is your answer determines the rest of your life. If you are obedient to Jesus, obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, then live that way. If you haven't been obedient to the gospel, I ask you why. Do you believe in Jesus? Would you like to examine further evidence? If we can help you get your life right with God by becoming a Christian, or maybe you did believe at one time in Jesus and you've fallen away, come back to him. If we can help you tonight, come forward as we stand and sing.